His Predictilator does all the mathematical work for you and gives you the best shot to pick winners. I've been following his stuff for years. He got so good at this, Ohio State said, can you come, please, and teach a bracketology course for us? And Professor Basir said, yeah, that would be fine. The general manager of PredictionMachine.com, Paul Basir, joins us here on The Fan. PB, how you been, bud?
I've been great, man. How you doing?
Good. You got any knuckleheads in your class that just aren't picking up what you're putting down about how to use your programming to be able to pick winners?
Yeah, it's a really good point, a good question, because we focus on the actual forming of the bracket for the first couple of sessions of the class, then really now hone in on who to pick once the bracket is finished. Those are two very different things between what the committee is trying to do and then now once the committee set the field, trying to figure out who's going to win. One is who's most deserving, the other one is who's best, and that's what we're focusing on now. We've got 80 kids in the class. Ultimately break them up into 8 different selection committees over the course of the first couple of sessions, and it is a blast for those that can sit through a 7 to 8 hour class on Saturdays over the course of the spring semester.
Now, is this like a test? Did they all have to fill out their bracket? Are they due by 12 o'clock on Thursday, and will they be graded over the course of the tournament by you?
Well, it's pass-fail, but ultimately the main responsibility toward getting the passing grade is being able to fill out an individual bracket and getting up in front of the class and justifying why you did what you did. It doesn't matter whether you win or lose, but as long as you can justify your explanation for it and be able to back it up and explain what your strategy was, that's all that really matters.
Now, do you have any Buckeye athletes in the class? And that doesn't mean just basketball players. Any of the scholarship athletes there at Ohio State in your class?
It is not. No scholarship athletes, especially when you give it the time frame that's involved here, starting at 9 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays, and as I mentioned, going 7 to 8 hours over four different classes that meet during the spring semester. We don't end up with many athletes that can fit that into the schedule as well. It's just ultimately a bunch of nerds like me.
Well, I figured you might get one football player who's trying to get an easy class out of it. All right, so have any one of these students that you've been teaching over the first couple weeks that you've been doing this, I know you did it previously, this is your first year at Ohio State, add anything to your thinking that you said, wow, we don't really put that into the program and we don't use that when using the analytics and running our program. Has anybody helped you in maybe making the Predictilator even better?
No, it's a good question. I think that, there's some game theory that we've absolutely had conversations about that I hadn't really thought about before that I actually tweeted quite a bit about at Predict Machine on Twitter today, which looks at the difference between the strategy and filling out a bracket when you have, in this case, about 70 to 80 people filling out a bracket versus trying to win a game where you have 8 to 10 million, like if you're filling out a bracket for one of the major websites. So there's a lot of things involved in the different strategies there. And just to quickly explain what that means is the smaller the pool, the more you want to stick toward exactly what you think is going to happen and what is most likely to happen. Prediction Machine has a most likely bracket. It's finished in the 90th percentile or better. And 10 of the 14 years that I've done this, 99th percentile or better in 8 of those years. And I mention that because those end up being very chalky-looking brackets. There's not a whole lot of differentiation there. But those kind of brackets tend to win smaller pools. Yet if you're looking at trying to win a pool with 8 to 10 million people in it, you want to be about as different as you possibly can. And that's where you can use the bracket that we put up, but to mess around and look into the odds a little bit to see where there's those opportunities to differentiate yourselves. And in all honesty, until we had a class discussion about it over the course of the last month or so, I hadn't gotten into that side of it nearly as much.
You can check out all this on PredictionMachine.com, the explanation, how it works, and the backstory as well. All right, so when the brackets come out, you punch in all your teams, punch in all of your numbers. As you say, you've been doing it for 14 years. What jumped up and what hit you? Was there something different this year? There isn't a beast in this tournament. Mm-hmm. Villanova is the number one seed, and I think they should be, but Villanova at this stage isn't as heavy a number one seed as we've seen in previous years and the like. How does this year's field compare to other years?
Well, in terms of the field itself, I thought the committee did about the best job I've ever seen in terms of seeding. What that ultimately means, though, is that you see even fewer projected outright upsets than ever before. Our only outright upsets where the worst-seeded team beats the better-seeded team are Texas over Nevada, Alabama over Virginia Tech, and Butler over Arkansas. That is it. Now, there are a lot of close competitive games that are in that range in terms of the seeding, but you'd expect that usually. Another thing that jumped out to me is that there were some good teams left out of the field. Notre Dame, 19th ranked in our power ranking, St. Mary's, 33rd. But the committee didn't do a good job of figuring out who those last few at-large teams is. You can't really complain at that point, given that we're talking about so many at-large teams that get in. At the top, while most people talk about this as a wide-open field, I was a little bit surprised in the numbers that it's only three teams that have a better than 10% chance to win it all right now, and that actual numbers have changed in the last about 5 or 6 hours. Previous to the DeAndre Hunter injury to Virginia, we had Virginia's most likely team to win the championship, and Villanova and Duke were right behind them. With Hunter, the sixth man of the year in the ACC, going down, a good defensive player and a good shooter for them, and it was enough to bump Villanova up to the most likely team to win the championship, as you alluded to, best offensive team in the country. Duke at number two. Virginia's still at number three in our most likely Final Four, and those are the only three teams that have a better than a 10% chance to win it. Ultimately, this bracket at the top looks very similar to most years. No dominant team, but it's not as open as people think either.
Paul Basir of PredictionMachine.com, creator of the Predictilator, our guest here on The Fan. Let me ask you about Duke, because I'm a Duke guy. I'm a fan. I love Krzyzewski. I think he takes too much criticism, even if he whines a little bit. And I almost always have him in my Final Four, and I picked him to win several championships. And 1 year I got it right, and it helped me win the bracket that I was in. I've been really disappointed in him this year, because unlike you, you do it by the numbers, and you stick to the facts and the figures, and I watch a lot of college basketball, but I'm also a big NBA guy. So half of when I watch college basketball, I'm projecting guys going forward and trying to think of whether they're going to be good NBA players. And I think Duke has more NBA-eligible players, be it this year's draft or a future draft, than anybody else in the country, which means they should have been the number one team in the country all year, and they haven't been. And they've lost a lot of ugly games. Why is it going to be different in the tournament?
It isn't necessarily going to be different in the tournament. Well, it will be different in the tournament for them to win. I apologize there. I am on the same page as you in terms of thinking that this is the most talented roster in all of college basketball, and it's by far the best starting five. Grayson Allen will likely be drafted in the first round, and he might be the fifth Duke player drafted in the first round of this upcoming year. That's how good and deep this team is in terms of NBA talent. And as analytically and objectively as I look at this, it turns out that even in the numbers, the team that's got the most amount of future NBA talent team seems to be most successful. They don't have many weaknesses. In all honesty, the only real weakness they have is that they don't force a whole lot of turnover. So that's not the most relevant major weakness for any team when you get to this point. The concern, though, is that beyond those starting five, they don't have a lot of depth. So if one player is off, somebody gets in foul trouble, if there is an injury situation, there isn't much depth for this Duke team. They're last in the nation, the entire nation, in bench minutes over the course of the entire season. So there's a concern there in terms of the overall construction of the roster, but Duke on a neutral court is favored over every individual team that they play in the country. The only reason we don't have Duke as the most likely national champion is because they have to play Michigan State just to get to the Elite Eight. Then they'd have to play Kansas. Then they'd have to play Villanova, who's our current most likely champion, and then potentially have to play Virginia, who they obviously struggled with over the course of the season. Different Virginia team, but still. Duke's path is brutal. Michigan State's the fourth best team in the country. Kansas is the seventh best team in the country. Villanova's the third best team in the country. Duke itself would be favored over all of those teams individually, but because the path is so tough, is the only reason we don't have them as the most likely champion.
Yeah, I thought the Midwest was easily the hardest region, and the East was easiest. That's why I have Villanova kind of easily going to the Final Four. Give me the lowdown on the team I'm taking a shot with here, which isn't a long shot, but Cincinnati is a two seed, and I have them taking out Virginia. Yeah. The injury to Virginia doesn't hurt me at all. Thank you very much. That could be an ugly All-South final because they're two really good defensive teams. I'm a huge Mick Cronin fan. Can Cincinnati make it to a Final Four? Can they make it to a championship game?
Well, this is my favorite conversation I think I've ever had on radio, because I am a Cincinnati alum multiple times over, and I get to talk about this as the best team we've seen for UC, at least since about 2004, 2005. And in this case, sure, they're in our most likely Elite Eight. The bottom half of that region is weak. They don't have to worry about Arizona, Kentucky, and Virginia. They don't have to worry about one of those teams. And Cincinnati is the second-best defensive team in the entire country, only behind Virginia, with Virginia now being banged up, Arizona and Kentucky having their own flaws. The Bearcats do have a very good chance to make it onto the Final Four. In fact, they were about 25% likely to make it to the Final Four before the injury to DeAndre Hunter. That bumped up to about 30%. That might not sound like a big number, but when you have 16 teams in the region that could make it to the Final Four, having almost a 1-in-3 chance is very good. They're still the second most likely team from that region to make the Final Four, but such a good defensive team overall and incredibly balanced offensively, more so than you ever see the McCronin teams tend to be this year's team, best offensive team in his era.
All right, you gave us only the handful of games where the lower-ranked team, as per your predict-a-later, actually believe they're going to win the game outright. But you said there are some that play out to be competitive games, sure, and hanging in the balance games. If someone is in one of these massive pools online or whatever else, and they know they got to take some chances, give us a minimum of a double-digit seed, sure, who you think has a legit shot, even if when you crunch numbers they come up a loser, but it's close enough that you can say, all right, I'll take my shot there.
Well, the most important thing to know right off the bat is that it's far more likely that all 10s win than all 7s win in the first round. So if you're looking for obvious upsets, I mentioned Texas and Butler, but Oklahoma and Providence both are almost 40, or a little bit over 45% each likely to win. So those are something close to coin flip games. Additionally, Loyola, we predict as a 50-50 game, almost exactly in the simulations against Miami. Loyola, popular upset among a lot of people. The 11 over the 6 is something that I would move forward in my bracket when you're looking to differentiate yourself a little bit. Moving off of that line a little bit, there are still some teams that jump out to me. South Dakota State against Ohio State, even though that's the school I'm representing here, objectively South Dakota State only loses by about 3 points on average in our simulations. Good play against the number, also good play if you're looking for a potential upset. New Mexico State in Vegas actually is only a 5-point underdog right now to Clemson, and is the closest, even closer than that South Dakota State Ohio State game that we just talked about, 12 versus 5 overall. And it's staying within that region, a region where you do see some overseeded teams on the 4 and the 5 line, Charleston, Auburn. If you're looking for that deeper sleeper, Charleston's a pretty good guard-oriented team, and Auburn overseeded, overrated there at the 4 in that region.
I almost pulled the trigger on that one. I didn't, but I almost pulled the trigger on that one. But I'll tell you the one that I did, and Mr. Ohio State now representing, you got to like this. I got Michigan's going out in the first round. I took
Michigan.
Took a shot with Montana, and I know they're a major underdog, and I'm probably going to lose it, but you got to take one real good long shot, and that was the one I landed on, Montana taking out Michigan. And if I get that one, then I got a chance to do well in a big pool. If not,
you're not wrong by any means that you have a chance if that wins. I just it would give you the context that you have a 10% chance.
10, okay. I'll live with my 10.
Sure.
Paul, always a pleasure, my friend. Continue great work. We'll be checking out predictionmachine.com. As always, everyone should check it out before they fill out their brackets. Thanks for hopping on with us tonight. And tell your students we send our regards.
I appreciate it. I enjoyed it. Thanks, Jody.